It's Saturday, and how many days of the week do you get to talk to a real-life panda? Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a sports ethos presentation presented by yours truly, Aaron Brewski, and usually Dr. A, Steve Alexander, and sometimes the inventor of fantasy basketball, Rick Kamla, but those two dudes aren't here. So it's just me and the great Mike Pasador of Sports Ethos. And yeah, it's pretty awesome to have a panda on the show. So quickly before we get into things with Panda and I bring him in here, I want to give you guys a quick update about how we're doing our shows. We got two episodes per day now, just one on the weekend, but two episodes per day during the week. And we'll have a bunch of special segments, some buy low, some sell high. The week ahead, which was actually what we're going to talk about here today with Panda. And then we'll be live every morning, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And then Doc and Rick are doing Sports Ethos After Dark Monday through Thursday. So, I mean, you guys have a ton of content to consume and from some of the greats in the industry. So that's going to be great. And real quick, let's shout out our sponsor, Basketball Fans. It's that time of year again. The NBA is back from opening tip-off to buzzer beaters. This season, every game matters. BetOnline has you covered with the best odds, biggest promos, and live in-game betting on all of your favorite teams, along with every stat, matchup breakdown, and live odds to bet on during the game. And it's not just the NBA. BetOnline has odds on everything from football to MLB playoffs, NHL, and political props. Head to the website today to get in the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering, BetOnline. The game starts here. Panda, we're talking about, first, I got to get a lot off my chest, folks. So Panda drafts right next to me in the vaunted 30 deep league. So when I did the draw to see who picked where, I saw your name and I wanted to throw and or break things because I know you're, first of all, you've won 30 deep twice. That's an amazing feat. Winning it once is an amazing feat, but winning it twice is an amazing feat. And your knowledge of the 150 to 350, 400, 500 player range is as good as it is in the industry. And I was like, this guy's going to take my guys. And then I knew it was going to happen. And then I had this choice. It was like, I forget who I got to pick. It was like Keegan Murray or something, you know. And then I got Keegan ranked at like 40 and 9 cat or something. And I'm like, okay, I got to take Keegan. And I was like, is he going to take Keon Ellis? Is he going to do that to me? And, you know, everybody passed Keon Ellis. And then, boom, you take Keon Ellis right before me at like 140 or 150. Very mad at you. I was extraordinarily mad at you. And then with the last pick, I believe, you took Jonathan Mogbo. And it's not fair because, one, you're in Toronto, so you know about things. Two, you read the news and you follow the Toronto beat writers who have been sort of all over Mogbo from the finish or from the start. And I thought, man, I'm going to get Mogbo. I really am. And right before me, you select Jonathan Mogbo. So I'd like to say that I hate you and I wish nothing but ill will upon you. And welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. I'm riding the wave of Mobo Mania. So we're all square over here.
You know, I don't think sorry, I'm stepping on you.
I'm reveling in my, you know, whatever pick that is,
379. No, it was 350, already. I think you took Mogbo at.
Well, he was pick 17 of round 12, so 347. Yeah.
I was so sure I was getting Mogbo, but with the exception in my mind, it's like Panda's going to get Mogbo. But so it's been interesting. Like in Toronto, I feel like Mogbo Mania is going pretty well. I planted a flag with Mogbo. Sort of, I saw the film for the first time in season. I didn't watch it in the preseason. I really should have, because if I had seen it, I would have probably had Mogbo in somewhere in the top 150 somewhere. Because I haven't seen this combo of speed and strength and everything. We could talk. I want to get your takes on all of this stuff as well, because I think you're as qualified as anybody to talk about this. But when I saw that, I was like, oh my God. And now, you know, he had a really big game followed by a 9-minute game. And I was kind of at that point, even in the 9-minute game, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Everybody go get Mogbo. It's basically my position. I don't know if it's going to work, but you just got to go do it. Then Scotty Barnes goes down, and we got a decent little Mogbo game in the last one. Where are you at with Mogbo? Like, from start to finish. Let's make this a little bit of a Mogbo episode.
Oh, perfect. Wow, I'm levitating. Adam, see where it goes. I mean, he's probably going to start for the duration of Scotty Barnes' absence. And look, on one hand, it sucks for the team because you can't really evaluate anything that happens without Scotty Barnes around. Like, it doesn't hold too much long-term weight just because he's, like, baked into everything that's going to happen in the next few years. But it's a great opportunity for him to establish himself and to get these valuable reps that will help him be productive even when Scotty does return and he shifts back into more of a natural role. But I wouldn't necessarily drop like anyone on your roster for him, but you know, like your last two or three guys, probably not going to have as much long-term upside unless you just had a great draft, and you know, that's totally possible. But I think most people should be kicking the tires at least and seeing where it goes. You know, like you said, he's got the attributes. Kind of the numbers from college were fantastic, and that didn't really include him shooting three-pointers at all. He's looked okay at that so far. And then just even then, like the impact metrics from college, he was just like so impactful. So, you know, even with some flaws in his game and some rough edges, like he's just a good player that's going to help. And this is a team that's in position to accept any good player that can help. So I'm a fan. We'll see where it goes.
And let's deconstruct this a little bit. So like in the tanking, let's kind of take tanking and just sort of crack that. Do you think Toronto is like, when do you think the tank starts for them? Like, is the tank already starting? Is it going to be a third of the season, a half the season, two thirds of the season? What do you think?
I mean, it might be starting already just because no Scotty, but they're getting pretty good minutes out of a lot of the roster that I don't think people are understanding yet. Like Davion Mitchell hasn't done too much in the box score, but he's looked good. Jamal Shedd's been fantastic, the backup point guard now.
He has been.
Same old as Mitchell, just like they dig in and get after it, not afraid to stick their nose in the dirty areas. So it's been a lot of fun to watch them. Grady Dick's been great. He's way more than a catch and shoot guy. He's driving into the paint, finishing over like Evan Mobley and stuff. He's not afraid to do it. He can put the ball on the floor. I mean, even RJ Barrett looks a lot better than he did in New York in this offensive system. So to me, I don't know if it's going to be a hard tank early on. I think their goal is to be fun but bad, which is being accomplished, and it gets a lot easier to do that without Scotty Barnes. To me, the big like red flag indicator is what happens with Jakob Poeltl. Like, if he ever gets hurt for any length of time, that's when the tank starts. Defense totally collapses without him. I mean, the last game in Charlotte, he was like 20-16 or something, and he was like plus 23 in 35 minutes, so they were, you know, minus 38 in his 9 minutes off the floor, whatever it was. It was some crazy split. And basically, anytime he's off the floor, they just start bleeding points. So he's, to me, the real indicator of like, all right, this is kind of when the shoot's getting pulled. If they ever want to just really tank it, they'll shut him down and everything else will just sort of happen naturally.
Yeah. And I'm asking this question to bring it back to Mogbo. And again, we're going to get into the look ahead of next week. And we're going to talk about guys other than Mogbo in Toronto. But Mogbo, I think, is going to become a topic here. It should be a topic. And, you know, we're trying to be out front with this. You know, anybody can kind of, once it's already kind of baked into concrete, anybody can say, oh, yeah, you should add him to your team at that point in time. But, you know, if you're in a competitive situation and you got to beat other analysts and things like that, you know, I think you got to kind of get out the crystal ball and see if you can project something. The tanking situation is good to understand because, again, if they're tanking, I don't see – let me ask you this question. If they're tanking, is there any reason to not have Mogbo on the floor?
No. I mean, why not see what he can do? I mean, he put up huge numbers as the featured guy across his long and winding NCAA journey. If the Raptors are without their actual, like, expensive guys, there's no reason not to see what – he can do, especially since there are some lingering questions about how he adjusts from his featured role into what he's going to be in the NBA. You know, it's unlikely that he becomes the guy that just gets to take all the shots and drives into the paint on his own at this level, but it's worth finding out if he can. And then if not, you know, he's got to learn how to play a little bit differently. And that's a good opportunity for him to get those those reps and build that experience. So yeah, I think he's going to be a fixture unless he gets hurt.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a couple back to the tanking question. I want to just say that I think that Toronto might sneak up on some teams, like especially with Scotty Barnes. Like with Barnes out, that's a huge deal. Maybe they can't win anything at all. But like this, the other players, especially the new players, the younger players, they're competitive. Like they're like Sheet is quick. You know, Battle, he has a nice shot. Like, that looks good. Obviously, Mogbo, I'm super high on. You know, Agbaji is out there.
He's looked really good too. He can actually shoot now. It's crazy.
There's something to be said about this team not just being total crap. You know, especially as you have RJ Barrett, you add back in Emmanuel Quickly. I wonder if they might win more games than they would like somehow, and then not accomplish the goal of tanking, if that is indeed the goal, which I did think the comments from Jakob Poeltl early in the season, in the preseason, did to me suggest that at least like he's looking at it and saying, hey, we're not really trying to win here.
apparent that they're not going to win the championship, but I do think that they have enough competent players, and I think they had a really nice draft class here. If opponents don't take them seriously, they will end up beating more people than they probably should. But like you said, they're missing Quickly. Obviously, they're missing Barnes right now. That's kind of your two most important players long-term at this point in time. You're also missing Bruce Brown, who kind of papers over a lot of second unit issues that have popped up so far. Kelly Olynyk, same deal, you know, replacing Bruno Fernando. With Kelly Olynyk in the rotation, it'll probably help when that's time. And they haven't even had Jacoby Walter, who was their first-round pick. So, you know, the guys they've plugged in have been competitive and they've been playing hard. But, like, they're also missing four or five guys that should probably be playing every night when available. So it's just a matter of making all the pieces fit. But, you know, I see reasons for optimism. It's, you know, to me, that's why I think Poeltl, his status is kind of the big tanking indicator, because – without him, no matter who else is there, it all kind of collapses. Like, they just can't defend well enough to keep from losing. So he's kind of the guy you really need to watch for when it comes to them just waving the flag on the season.
Now let's do this. That would be the last thing on Mogbo, and we'll move into some other topics here. So, like, what can people expect if – so Mogbo, you know, in college – you've done way more college research on Mogbo than I have, by the way. Like, I think I know he was a great rebounder. In college, I presume he was good defensively, since that's some of the most amazing stuff that I've seen in a while, is like him covering Anthony Edwards the other day. Your defensive stance and being able to kind of pivot back and move your hips and open one way, open another, and stay centered and keep your body in front, and all of those things that are that make up good defense. Like, Anthony went right, he went left, he went right again. He went left again. Most guys are tripping over their feet and they're falling, and he's already on his way to the hoop and he's dunking. Mogbo just sat there and just, nope, I'm going to open this way. I'll open this way. Open this way. I got you covered every which way. What should folks expect in this scenario that they start tanking, or maybe Mogbo just earns the minutes, and if he gets up to 20, 25, hell, 30 minutes per game down the road, what should folks be expecting out of Mogbo, whether it's basketball, real basketball, or fantasy?
If he gets up like 25 plus, I think you're looking at kind of low end double doubles with the occasional like 20 point game, and then, you know, 1.5 to maybe 2 defensive stats a night, hopefully on good percentages. I think the percentages will depend on who else is on the floor with them. Obviously, it gets easier if you have the expensive guys, but if he's kind of tasked with playing the same role he did at San Francisco last season, then, you know, his percentages will suffer. But I mean, last year, I just pulled it up, 28.9 minutes, 14.2 points, 10.1 rebounds, 3.6 assists, 1.6 steals, 0.8 blocks on 636 from the field. No real three-point attempts, which is, you know, obviously adding to the game. But, you know, there's a lot to like about those numbers, even if it's not a one-to-one translation. He's going to be must-start if the Raptors shed a lot of the veterans from the rotation at some point. I just don't see how he doesn't fall into at least getting, like, you know, 12 points, 7 rebounds, maybe something else tonight.
That's University of San Francisco.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yes. So he started. Here we go. We're going to do the Mobo Mania is coming for you, brother. He started at Independence Community College, then Northeastern Oklahoma A&M, the powerhouse, Missouri State, and then San Francisco. So he's a well-traveled man and has now won the hearts and minds of
At least
people
two of us.
who love fantasy basketball. Yeah.
16.6 minutes per game. Oh, I got people at University of San Francisco, so that's why I bring that
There you
up.
go.
But 16.6 minutes per game this year for the Raptors, 1.2 steals, 1.0 blocks, 7.6 points, 3.8 boards, 1.8 assists. So basically 8, 4, and 2 with a steal and a block and some change per game in those 16 minutes. So to flirt with two defensive stats, in 86% of his free throws, by the way. Anyway, producer Andre Limosh adds that I love how you guys are over there trying to claim Mogbo, but somehow he's on my roster in our internal Roto League. What a shot fired by Andre, who now has to edit out at least one reference to himself in this episode. That makes me happy
I'll
that he's
keep
got to edit
referencing
it
that
out.
later.
Yeah,
I'll keep running.
yeah. Okay, so Mogbo, I personally just think you got it, he's a luxury stash, but I think that I mean, you got to have a stacked team, in my opinion, to not take this on because you got 3 weeks of ramp here with Scotty Barnes not playing, and it could be more, right? Like, we don't know. Yeah. So basically, you get 3 weeks of ramp to kind of see what they're going to do with him, and maybe they'll just keep him at 20 minutes per game or even 17. And even though 17 minutes, if he gets what he gets right now, I don't have that up in front of me, but let me pull that up right now. That's a decent little chunk of fantasy value, even in this smaller output here. Yeah, he's a top 100 guy right now in nine cat leagues.
Here's the other thing, though. Like, this roster kind of needs him. I know a lot was made in the previous couple of years about like Vision 6'9", where everyone on the floor is like 6'8" to 6'10" and long and athletic, and it didn't work for a variety of reasons. But like after last year's transactions, you look at the roster and you're like, man, they could use someone who's like 6'8" who can defend a couple positions. Like, they could use like an OG Anunoby, you know? So sure enough, here's Mobo at like 6'7½, who has
Mobo?
experience
Is it
switching
Mogbo?
across. As
Is it
I've always heard
Hargrove?
it as Mobo, but I'm willing to accept the Mogbo.
Well, you know how I roll, guys. I usually don't get it right. I've been calling it Mogbo, so Mogbo is probably correct. We'll get Andre
I don't know. I
Lemos,
interpret him as
intrepid
GD
producer,
silent, but
who somehow stole him from us. I'm going to claim workloads. That's how he beats me to the punch there. Yeah, I think like I don't see how they keep him off the floor
yeah, I
because
mean, they
you
just need a
need a
guy of his
player like
profile,
that
so makes sense.
on the floor. So we got no help from the phonetic spelling offered by Mobo. Mobile?
I'm claiming that that's Mobo, yeah.
Is that Mobo? Mobo. Okay. All right. I like
Silent G.
Mogbo. I like Mogbo better. I don't know
Well,
why. Like, I feel like you could shout Mogbo forever and it'd be better as Mogbo, but it's Mobo. Mobo? Mobo.
Mobo.
Any other angles surrounding the now named Jonathan Mobo?
No, take a shot, see where it goes. You're going to have 3 weeks of passable production, and then if it becomes more, you're made in shape. And if not, then you find the next hotness 3 weeks from now. It's pretty cut and dry to me.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the other thing. It's not cut and dry to anybody else out there. I don't think anybody's on this boat. Like, I'm not seeing it.
Mo boat.
The Mo boat, exactly. I'm not seeing it out there. When I bid for him last week in Fab, there were two bids out of like 10 leagues. I bid a decent chunk of change. I didn't want to miss this ride. I could have gotten him for $1. I could have gotten him for $12 at the highest cost it would have cost me out of 1,000 Fab dollars. And people are just kind of out there not even they don't even know his name. And
Yeah,
so, I
it's
mean,
just early in the season, you get people who love their own roster too much to like get in on the juice. It's like, oh, like everyone I drafted is gonna outperform their draft slot. Like, I don't wanna risk that yet. It's like, sometimes you should. Sometimes the guy at the bottom of your roster just kind of stinks, you know? Like, take a shot, live a little.
And I've got to say, man, I've not seen defense played, and here I am watching Keon Ellis all the time. I don't think, I mean, Keon's amazing. Mobo, like, just a man his size, like, being able to cover that much ground laterally with his strength. I mean, he kind of makes Scotty Barnes look small.
Childhood best friends, by the way. Fun fact for them.
I did not know that. Yeah. And that actually is a very big deal because you want to keep your star player happy. And if your childhood best friend now has the game to make it, that's very interesting.
It's all the way from, what was it, Independence Community College.
That's your knowledge of the history there is impressive.
Heck of a ride.
All right, let's get to something a little more mainstream.
Well, hold on. If anyone out there has attended Independence Community College, let us know.
Yeah, I would like to get the tips on what you saw in Mobo. What the development
next
has been. Let's see here. Okay, Jared Allen. Jared Allen is destroying the league. What's your read?
Cavs look good was my big overarching storyline. They look really good. Kenny Atkinson came into that interview with the plan, and it's elevated Evan Mobley offensively, but in turn it has also elevated Jared Allen, which is not often something that you think would happen. Look, definite sell high opportunity because he's not going to be a first round player this year, but man, Cavs look really good. So if you can finagle like a certified top 30 guy for Jared Allen, more power to you. I'm wary of early trades, and I think a lot of people are, except for the people that just love making trades more than they love winning. Early on, nobody's throwing you a life preserver. You know, you're only getting anchors from other people at this point. So any offer you get should be treated skeptically unless it's from the guy in your league that you know is just a maniac. So I think spinning Jared Allen is like, oh, you know, he's got first-round potential. It's going to be a tough sell, but if you can do it, go for it. You know, don't ask, don't get. So try to sell high, but honestly, even if he cools off, it looks like he's going to have a shot to outperform his draft slot. So, you know, if you can't get anything certifiably better, you might as well ride with it and see where it goes.
I've faded Jared Allen for 2 years now, and it looked real bad. Last season, it was an ankle, I believe, in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, he missed. So he didn't... What was it? I think it was ankle. It might have been knee. Yeah, it was literally the first 5 games of the season and then perfect attendance until the playoffs when he had a rib contusion.
Yeah, and really just like blew the socks off my projection. And then my big concern has been the lateral quickness. I don't think it matters. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, I did not see a thing and it's making me mad, but whatever, you know, you live with it. Like the Cavs might be so good that what he does well is wide open for him. You know, you get so much good offensive action out of, I mean, you want to call Evan Mobley the second best player? You want to call Darius Garland the second best player offensively? I don't care which one you want to put where. That's three dudes that are crushing it. And, you know, if you're just sitting there and you're Jared Allen, you just basically do whatever you want at that point. I didn't see that coming. And maybe that's the effect here is that his stat set is so good that, you know, from an efficiency standpoint, that when he can play free without, you know, anybody in his way, he's just going to get you that great percentage. He's going to get you the points and the boards and all of the other stuff that comes with a good team sort of beating up on other bad teams. What's your projection for him the rest of the season?
That's a tough one. See, I mean, look, he's going to slow down from this. I think he can be top 50 just kind of by staying in his lane as long as he doesn't get hurt. That's kind of where I'm settling.
What about top 40? So you think top 50?
Yeah, I'm conservative in my estimation. So yeah. I always kind of bump it down like 5 to 10 spots from, you know.
Where your gut's at?
I think he might actually be just to be like, all right, you know, he'll cool off. Like, even if he goes into the tank for a while, he'll still up in the top 50 as long as, like, he's raised his baseline level. So, I mean, top 40 is not out of the realm of possibility because, you know, I think we talked about this in the draft season, but, like, that second, third round of guys is just a lot of people who were drafted to play at their very best, kind of beyond the level of what we've seen before. So I think a lot of people with ADPs in like the like mid 20s and beyond into like the 50s are gonna not meet that. And I think Jared Allen is primed to kind of leapfrog a bunch of those guys who got drafted just too aggressively.
Yeah, they don't pay us to tell you what happened after the fact. I think that's always the fun thing is when people are like, "Hey, go add a guy," you know, and it's like, "Well, no, that already happened 3 weeks ago because somebody had to jump and predict." And the fact that you got him at like top 40, I think in your gut, I think that's good advice for folks to look at because it's very tempting to say, "Okay, maybe the level has risen here. Maybe the level's risen to top 30." I mean, some people might be over the moon with this and say, okay, now the level's top 20. But top 40 is probably the right answer there. And with the fast start of five games, you know, maybe that looks like top 35 at the end of the season. If he plays all the games, it will look even better. So really interesting stuff there. Let's talk about Buddy Hield. Whoa, what happened there? I caught a hanger. Buddy Hield, what's up with Buddy Hield? For you, do you think
He's
that he got?
shooting it like crazy. That's what's
Yeah.
up.
What's the outlook here?
Yeah, I'd roster him. I mean, I've always liked the stats there. He can hit a lot of three pointers and do it on like a minimum average, typically plus efficiency mark from the field. Like,
Have you looked up what his production level is
oh,
before
it's
heading into the
stupid.
show?
It's stupid. I know that he had like 18 threes in his first four games or something. It was crazy. And it didn't matter the game state or the lineups he was with. It was just like Buddy Hield second on the team in shots. It was like
If you were to throw
completely
a dart,
irrelevant everything else
what do
that's
you think
happening.
his per game rank
Per
is?
game, I don't know. Let's call him 22.
Okay.
Am I right?
I think it's 21.
Oh, imagine if I got that right.
Yeah. That's,
I would have done a backflip, but you guys wouldn't have been able to see it.
I think Buddy Hield just produces in fantasy leagues.
Yeah,
That's like,
like
I mean,
he's
there, right?
perpetually undervalued. They need him. Like,
They're
I
hell bent
understand
on
what
shooting
they're.
threes, by the way. Like, that's all they talk about in Golden State is wanting to make up Klay Thompson's 3-point shooting.
Well, that's not that hard to do anymore. Hate to say it, but.
What do you mean? Klay's had a fast start until the last two games.
Yeah, until the last 50% of the schedule, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's well, let me ask you about Klay Thompson since we're talking about him. Like, are you thinking Klay Thompson is not even close to his current project or his current productivity? He's like more of a top 125 guy, or is he?
So, full transparency, I don't know where he is in the rankings. I actually try not to get bogged down in like, oh, this guy's ranked this spot through five games just because, like,
Doesn't
on the
matter.
cosmic scale of time, that's like a sneeze. So, the first like 5-10 games is more about weighing what I projected coming in versus their actual sort of on-court fit and production without looking at like, oh, he's top 80 so far, because that sample's just so small that I don't like putting those in my brain and having it anchored. So to me, Klay Thompson came into the season as like a late round pick for some three pointers. I don't think the efficiency is coming back, even playing off the two guards that he's playing with. And to me, he has not been a must draft, must roster guy in 12 team leagues, and nothing I've seen so far has shaken that. And I know that not being invested in Klay Thompson means there's going to be, those two hot games right out of the gate. Like, I won't be involved in that. I won't be part of that, and that's fine with me. Like,
Well,
I'm just aware that that will not be part of my menu, but I also don't have to start him and then get like 7 points on 2-for-9 shooting. You know what I mean? So.
it's hilarious is I think I hear the landscapers preparing their actions. So we're gonna speed this show up, folks, and we're gonna look at the week ahead. But Klay Thompson's got 4 3-pointers a game under his belt right now, and that's it, probably. You know, that's it basically. And not touching the ball at all. So that goes down to three, and he's down into that top 100 range, and if it goes to 2.6 or something, then you're down even further. So this is a great sell high moment for Klay. I love Klay. I love his fit on Dallas. It's just not probably going to happen for him beyond the late round value.
Well,
Let's look at the week ahead.
let's do it.
Oh, I thought there was definitely another Klay take coming. at that point
Oh,
in
there
time,
was,
and I
but it was
just
going to be
switched it.
stupid, and Andre would have to edit it out, so.
Well, the great producer, Andre Limouche, loves editing his name out, so we're going to just mention it 50
You should
times,
just
I think.
censor it.
I've got a counter on my end. That's three. Okay, quick trivia. Buddy is the most three-pointers made this season so far at 24. Two players from the same team are tied in second. Who are they?
Peyton Pritchard and Jason Tatum.
That's really, yes. Honestly, that smells like collusion to me.
No, I know, like, that I write up Peyton Pritchard way more than I want to, because the opinion changes. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is why people who do blurbs are the best analysts in fantasy basketball, because you're all over it. Like, you're literally in the trenches and getting those reps, and you just know what the answers are, just flat out. So that's why I love what we do here.
As long as Andre is not asking me about guys who played in like 1973, I like
that's
my
when
chances.
Doc and Rick, that's when they get their, that's their edge. It's like, they know all that stuff. Like, it's the back of their hand. I don't know anything that happened probably prior to like 1986 or something.
If it came out before the Goonies, I don't know about it.
Yeah, you know, and Goonies and then Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. and again, I was trying to make the point. It's like, this is why I think it's really important that, you know, places like Sports Ethos and Roto World and Roto Wire and other places, that Roto Baller, that do blurbs, I think it's really important that we don't lose that as a basketball culture, because that's where the real analysis is done, and that's where the real value is for, you know, folks, you know, in the fantasy universe. It's like, you know, that's the gut, that's the guts, that's the heartbeat of everything. And you're right in there. And it shows when, you know, Jason Tatum and Peyton Pritchard are the top second tied for second players, shooting the three ball. All right, let's move on to the week ahead before this, the landscaper is going to start ripping that, whatever it's, I guess it's a blower or the edger, it's going to start happening. It's going to just completely wreck this show. So let's get into the week ahead. Who's got the good schedules? Are you already eyeballing some streamers? What's going on?
Well, see, streaming is going to be weird next week, because Tuesday is a day off for everybody because of Election Day in the U.S. Everybody go out and vote. Go do that. It's important. And then as a result, Monday is also a full slate. You have 15 games, so all 30 teams are in action. Which means, in a practical sense, nothing really means anything until Wednesday, because everyone has the same schedule Monday and Tuesday. So it's really Wednesday and beyond. So overall, you've got like only three teams play, three or four teams play three games. Let me pull it up. Who is it? Yeah, Brooklyn, New Orleans, Utah, and Washington only get three games. Everyone else gets four. And you know everyone else is on a Monday. So it's pretty packed. Thursday has three games. Saturday has four. So every other day with games is just loaded. So there's not going to be a ton of streaming opportunity. If you can, the guys you'd want to target are Utah, Chicago, and San Antonio players, because they get the double pack on Thursday and Saturday when you'll actually have lineup spots. So those would be my choices. If you have to stream anyone, those are the guys that are actually going to be, you know, usable. Everyone else is just like you're picking them up and then they're on your bench anyway.
That was Utah, who, and San Antonio?
Utah, Chicago, and San Antonio.
All right, let's go through them one by one, and we'll just kind of do a little rapid fire.
Yeah.
Who do we like and who do we not like? So Utah, it's a lot of bottom
luck.
Of the roster stuff. Like,
good
are you
luck.
Getting in on Kyle Filipowski? What's up?
I mean, it depends what league size you're in. 16 teams, that, you know, maybe.
Okay.
I wouldn't drop anyone that's like going to be, you know, top 200 for him, but depends how bad you want to win this week, I guess. Yeah, I just don't know about the long-term kind of fit there, but worth the kick of the tires. I'd rather have Mobo, of course. It all comes back to
Mobo.
Yeah,
that just goes without saying. Any question is answered that way, by the way.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Filipowski, interesting that he's getting the start, but once Markkanen comes back, I think he's going to kind of fade. It seems like the Jazz really want Cody Williams to get the Taylor Hendricks spot.
Totally
fair.
I'm going to stipulate that Kessler is just on teams. Clarkson, probably on teams, but there's a lot. I guess it's easy to say go get Jordan Clarkson if you've got a streaming slot.
Yeah, if you wanted, well, he got hurt last night. He had his left heel pain. So who knows?
Okay, all right.
Maybe Colin Sexton will be starting again.
Well, and there have been a lot of drop Colin Sexton questions. Are you, I'm going to phrase it to you this way. Do you think Colin Sexton is going to produce any differently than he did last season?
Maybe a little less, but not by enough to make me think that you should drop him.
Yeah. Okay, here's the hard one. Okay, and then John Collins, like, he should be must roster.
Yeah, even if he's not starting, he's clearly the guy getting the stats out of that vacant forward spot.
A lot of people have been asleep at the Collins thing, and I think he even gets traded so he can have a better last third of the season if they go full tank there. So the one that is interesting, given the injury to Taylor Hendricks, is Bryce Sensabaugh. Do you have any interest whatsoever? Like, let me even move to this. Do you think that there's any chance that he's even fantasy relevant in a 30 team or a 20 team or a 16 team league?
16 and 20, yeah. Maybe not right now. I don't see him getting enough shots with Jordan Clarkson and Colin Sexton and even Keyonte George all in the lineup. Like, Sensabaugh doesn't or hasn't to this point done a lot besides hit some threes when he's shooting well, and it's just like that's hard to crack that shot share while the Jazz still have all these guys healthy. I mean, Taylor Hendricks being out sucks, obviously, but he's not a guy that's going to like, oh, I'm going to shoot 15 times tonight. Like, Taylor Hendricks kind of stays in his lane and does productive stuff just by being himself. So the minutes are there. I don't know if the stuff that makes Bryce Sensabaugh relevant is going to be there yet, but down the line, yeah.
I'm going to slip us into San Antonio here, and I'm going to just let you know that you were not able to get Julian Champagny from me.
That's okay. I wrote him up as the sleeper last year, and he delivered for me, so we did.
Yeah. I mean, look, Champagny was great in his summer league. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, that guy might be good, and then he just sort of slowly got better.
He's like that mold of player that I just personally really like, where they just do a little bit of everything and you know they're just good. Like him and Dean Wade, if I could have those two guys in every team, I'd die a happy man.
But when I was looking at the MOBO numbers, see where he ranks, Champagny's right where I had him in the B150, which is at about 100. And getting about 25 minutes per game. It's been a little light lately, and I think people don't treat Champagny as if he's a top 100 guy. I think he's going to finish inside the top 100.
I think he's going to need some help to do that, but just the way that the Spurs have operated with like random injuries, I think he's got a shot at it. If you have him now in a standard league, I would maybe consider looking at the wire, seeing what's out there. Like, I would swap him for Mobo if possible, just because Devin Vassell is loosely expected to come back in the next 2 weeks, and I think that eventually will be Champagne's starting spot going into the ether. But, you know, Vassell is no lock to stay healthy for forever. And Champagne has clearly established himself as a guy who's just good. Like, the Spurs will play you if you're helpful. And sometimes you're Blake Wesley and they play you if you're not. So, I like Champagne's game. I think he's a good player. And my general overarching rule when I think about adding someone is like, is this guy a good player or is he just kind of crap and then just getting minutes because the team stinks and they don't know what they're doing? And he's a good player, and I think the Spurs do know what they're doing. So definitely, I think he'll be relevant in like 14 team leagues all year long. I think there's going to be a little bump when Vassell gets back and up to speed, and this brief window of time where all the main guys are actually healthy together. But as soon as someone goes down, it's pretty much Champagny's always the guy that gets the call.
Yeah. A couple things here. I think Champagny keeps this current valuation of like about 110 in 9 cat leagues. He keeps that as his baseline, like going forward like that, but that might not play in your league. You know, if you're only playing top 75 guys for your value, then obviously that's not going to cut it. But if 110 in a 9 cat league or 130 ish in an 8 cat league plays for you, I think that's there all season long. That's my guess. And I do expect there to be a small dip when Vassell gets back And that might be the window for folks to jump back in. He's getting about 25, 26 minutes per game right now. I think that if there's injuries or maybe he just keeps climbing the ladder and they want to win and they want to be competitive, maybe that goes up to like 28 this season. And then you would have a little bit extra margin there, and that would be good for you. Andre in the chat is cracking me up. I don't know if he did a player.
Who in the chat?
Andre Limouche, okay. Who is our intrepid producer. You know, at first I was calling him Lamos, which was a very lame way to say his name. Then the lots of comments came in, especially from Portugal. And I started getting the name right. It's Lamouche. And Rick Campbell got it right on the first try, by the way. That made me very mad. Made me realize that he's the professional and I'm the guy that's, you know, just learning the ropes over here. And then he's talking some other jazz right now. I'm not going to get into it. But he puts out a list of what I believe is his ranking of these players. He's got Keon Ellis first. And I don't want to turn this into a Keon Ellis episode. I feel like I've covered that on the show enough. Feel free to weigh in if you want, Panda. But he got Keon, then Penny, Dean Wade, and then Mobo. Okay. He says this isn't his order. This is not his order. Okay. I take it all back, Andre Lemos. I think we're at 13 now, by the way, Panda. 37 to go. All right. So the question was posed to me, though, by the great Andre Lemos. Would I flip Champagne for Mobo? What would you do, Panda?
I would, just with Vassell coming back, and then also I'm a clinger. I like the guys that I pick because I trust my early evaluations. Like, I'm not – I think I've made, like, one trade in, like, the last 6 years. Like, I do my work in the draft and then on the waiver wire. So for me to, like, make moves – sometimes you got to rip off the Band-Aid and let go of somebody that you feel that you're way ahead of the curve on, that it just takes forever to get there. Obviously, he's there right now. But for me, that's kind of that would be my one roster spot where I'm like, all right, there's the one I can play with. Everybody else is kind of dialed in until they stink it up and got to hit the bricks. It's like opening up that one mental hurdle of like, here's a roster spot you can play around with and take shots on long-term upside guys. So I think Mobo has more potential in the long term than Champagne. I think Champagne's probably going to be more consistent. But with that last spot, and it depends on how your roster is built, obviously, and what you're looking for with that last spot. But the way I build it, I'd probably take the shot on Mobo and, you know, a little bit less in the near term, a little bit of a bumpier ride, but maybe down the line he becomes significantly more impactful. So that's just how I would play it.
Yeah, I think Mobo, if things start going real well, there's going to be a big Mobo fever, and then it's going to be hard to get Mobo. Whereas Champagne, he also might have the lull in the next, say, 4 weeks. So you could probably figure it out where you get both if you had to drop one or the other. And I also think that it's getting worse, I think, now. But, like, you have to get ahead of the curve to win.
Yeah.
Our readers are constantly messaging us questions that are designed to be ahead of the curve. And you get a lot of folks that are just sort of sitting out there and waiting. And they're like, okay, I'll tell you that they're worth picking up when they're already picked up in your league.
Yeah. Add Dyson Daniels.
Yeah, right? Like, it's...
Well, but you just never know who's on the other side of the screen, right? Because I did this week's waiver wire thing, and Dyson Daniels was still available in, like, 35% of leagues on Yahoo, which is just an ungodly number. And it's like, you know, hey man, I don't know what your league is like. I gotta say it just to cover my bases. So,
right. That might be good research in the sense that now we know 35% of Yahoo leagues aren't paying attention.
You know, or they're like just six teams.
There is that the old six team. I have an 8-team league and I want to do a 5-player trade.
Do it.
What's your question or what's your answer? Okay, so the Mobo versus Champagne, because we got a lot of both for Sports Ethos Fantasy Squads. I too would drop Champagne to get Mobo because upside's everything. And while I love Champagne, I don't think that he's going to produce on a per game basis more than say like top 80. I just think he's going to be a solid top 100, 110 guy as normal, and then play a lot of games and sort of just stick around. And But yeah, that the Mobo thing, what's the two combined steals with a lot of points and rebounds and a good field goal percentage, and maybe he even hits free throws. I mean, that we're talking like what, top 50, top 40?
Yeah, and you might not get that for a little bit, but when you get it, it's going to be good.
Right? If you're in head to head, it's right during your fantasy playoffs. And
Yep.
if you compile that throughout the year, like we'd be looking at Mobo drafted at 300 in a lot of leagues. And I was embarrassed that I didn't have him in standards, or not standards, in my high stakes leagues. I was embarrassed looking at the film and knowing that you knew about him, and that the Toronto Raptors beat writers have been talking about him all preseason, that I didn't have him on my squads. I'm embarrassed. I'll just say it, but I digress. What else? Okay, so we had Chicago. Or maybe I cut San Antonio short. Is there any other streamer from San Antonio that you think is a smart pickup, like Castle? Do you think people have dropped Castle yet?
I'm sure people have. He doesn't inspire joy in me at this point in time. But go for it. If you need assists, knock yourself out. Right? It's just the last couple of games, Chris Paul has looked
He's put a
like,
stamp on.
yep, he's looking like Chris Paul again. So, obviously that's gonna drag Castle's numbers down, and that won't last, but it's just one of those things because of the way the schedule is. If you really need assists, like, you're welcome to do it just because you're not going to have any other streaming options.
I don't
Like,
know why
half
that's
of the
the.
week is your lineup is full, the other half it's going to be mostly empty. So yeah, if you have someone that's not going to play at all that you don't think is going to be top 100 guy for the full season, you might as well get Castle in there just if you want to secure the week.
The private
I'm not against it. I'm
chat's
not
going
for
nuts
it, but I'm
over
not against it. Vote for me.
private chat's going nuts over here because it's just questions. And then I also think Andre Lemos is waving the white flag. He doesn't want us to keep saying his name. He told us that he's not editing it out, so we don't need to get to 50 anymore. So there's that. There's a question that he's asking: would you, Mike, have Mobo over Idemisi for Dynasty? That was a question we got in the last episode. I think it's a really fun one. Who do you
I'm going to
like
say
better in
no.
Dynasty?
I would take Missy.
You would.
I
Interesting.
would. And not just because I've been shouting about Yves Missy as a sleeper all draft season long. Just fantasy wise, like, I think Mobo needs a little more to happen for him, whereas Missy's always going to be able to lean on like the two blocks a night. So it's just a different style of production, right? It's you're going to get good value, but the shape of it's a little bit different. So like Missy, I don't think he needs to ever become a 28-minute a night guy to be like a 12-team option. If he gets 60 minutes a night, he's gonna, 6 rebounds, like 1.6 blocks, and a sky-high field goal percentage. Like, we know that works already. So if that's kind of what you need from your dynasty roster, go right ahead. Like, I think he's got better odds of being consistently productive. I think Mobo needs to sort of show continued improvement. And also have roster spots open up for him in a way that maximizes his potential in terms of volume. So, no wrong answers, just kind of depends what you're looking for and what you're after. But for me, I just think in a vacuum, the way the question was phrased, Missy makes more sense.
I'm going to take the other side, but I completely get it. Like, that block value is one of the most stabilizing things for a fantasy guy. And it's funny because blocks can kind of be unstable. But if you're a young player and you're getting those blocks right now, there's a good chance those blocks aren't degrading anytime
Yeah.
soon.
Well, here's the other thing, and I've said this like 50 times already in writing. So if I say this and then it rings a bell for you, who wrote what you were reading. But like, the Pelicans have spent 2 years basically trying to get rid of Jonas Valanciunas, and they're like, we want someone who's athletic, who can like be a lob threat and protect the rim and just has bounce. And it's like, well, you got rid of Valanciunas. You added Daniel Theis and Carlo Matkovic, who is basically like stuck to the floor in the Adriatic League. So like, who fits what you want that you've been talking about for 2 years?
And they
Like,
went right to him.
yeah, like, as I was hoping they would. Like, Daniel Theis is a fine, solid player, but like, he's not what they've been saying they want. And Carlo Matkovic's not coming through that door, brother. So, yeah, I mean, just
Was that
it's
a Rick Pitino mixed with Hulk Hogan?
Well, let me tell you something about the Cardinals, brother. Andre, you have to edit that out.
No. Andre Limosh will not be doing any editing. Never, he says. He also said that he doesn't inspire joy in me will be the episode title, and I don't like that. I think this episode title is the all about Mobo show.
Mobo Mania.
Mobo
Mania is running wild, dude.
Dude. You guys don't know how much, like when we do work meetings around here, a work meeting with Panda lasts five times longer than it was scheduled for. And it's just this. It's like constant.
Oh, it's just random crap. Yeah.
And eventually we get something done.
Maybe random crap should be the episode title.
I don't like that one because it's mobile forever. And okay. whatever dribble drabble you just did in a Hulk Hogan voice. I hear he's doing well.
Yeah, let's look up the Hulk. Now to take a big sip of hot coffee and see what Hulk Hogan's up to these days.
Okay, so but streaming for the last angle on streaming with San Antonio, yeah. I do think like if Champagne's available and if like Castle's available,
go for them.
And you are streaming.
Yeah, I mean,
take a shot, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, even if it's only for a week, right? Like if you add them, you get your bonus games this week. They might help you win, and then if you aren't thrilled with what you get, you drop them for someone else next week.
Yeah, and I think that we've got the valuations
it's
from
free
us
money. Kind of
where we think these guys – you could just print it. Like, we've got the valuations, but here's a spot where you can add and get the streamer benefit from it if you're on the fence. Like those two guys in particular, because Castle – I'm not a big Castle guy for fantasy value this season, but I do like him as a player.
Yeah.
And I do think that eventually he'll be good. Well, it's not probably going to happen soon, but you could at least mark your spot. And in case it does start happening, then you get in on it. Let's move to Chicago before we wrap this up. Surprisingly, I was laughing. We had three topics on the board coming in this show, and I knew that we could make three topics go forever. But we're at the 50-minute mark, and we do got to go. And somehow those landscapers weren't doing any work out there. So, yay, we get to do this without the noise in the background. But Chicago, in terms of streamers, like who?
Good luck. Have fun.
Yeah, nobody on the board for you.
I mean, with Lonzo out, like if Zach LaVine's out, you can do Dosunmu or Dosunmu. Sorry, if he's listening, I apologize. Other than that, I mean, I've always been partial to Patrick Williams. Just again, people can sense that I like the guys that just kind of float in and like, oh, here's five rebounds and a steal and a block and like maybe 2 3-pointers. So that's kind of where I'm at, and that's where I stop. No. Well, I mean, Jalen Smith, but he's been kind of banged up. So, you know,
that's
of
like,
that
outside of the streaming news, that's the disappointing news. Yeah. I think people wanting upside have been looking at Jalen Smith thinking like, okay, when Vucevic is gone, if that happens, that he would be the guy that could maybe reach up and get you top 75.
Yep, I'm on board there. I mean, he's already outlasted Bouzalis in the rotation, so I'm still on board. I don't think it's going to happen in the near future, so. It is.
Io Dosunmu. No.
Yeah, we'll count it. I'm looking at the judges, and yes, that is.
And that was a streamer recommendation there, folks. I
if Levine is out,
I wish they would go back to like old Io running the point, 9-10 assists a game. They did it for like a week, and
because they had like six guards.
Yeah,
the team's never not had like four point guards that should all be playing. So.
While we have you on the LaVine front, let's say the shoulder thing's not a big deal. Like, yep. And then he's just back. Like, where are you with LaVine? I mean, he looked pretty bouncy to start the season. And then two of
I was all over it in drafts. I like, again.
So you leaned into that.
Yeah, here's the common thread. Like, a lot of people sort of outside that first round, people get drafted to be like the very best version of themselves. And a lot of times you get guys like LaVine where there's obvious flaws that just fall way too far. And it's like, I know Zach LaVine can outperform where I drafted him, even if like a couple things go wrong. Whereas like guys that get drafted 10 spots ahead of him need to be perfect to hit that. So I was all about LaVine in around his general ADP. So, you know,
we'll check this out.
It doesn't work.
He's got four turnovers a game, and I'm looking at his 9-cat rank right now. Four turnovers a game. He's still inside the top 50.
Yep.
It's 23 points, 3.4 trays, 6.4 boards, 2.8 assists. That's an interestingly low number, but that makes sense. Like, you got other guards that can handle, and he can kind of get to sort of pick and choose his spots. 51% from the field. That's after a 2 of 9 shooting night.
Well, the other big picture thing here is that, like, look, he wants to be traded. The Bulls want him to be traded.
Mm-hmm.
You know what makes that happen is him playing really well in a big role. Like, them having to load manage Zach LaVine does not increase his trade value. It doesn't help him play better. Like, the only thing that gets everybody to the ultimate end goal is him playing and playing well. So, where he was going in drafts, it made total sense to take a shot.
My God, I wish we could do this for 4 hours, but we got to run. We got to run, unfortunately. So any last parting thoughts before you leave the show known as Fantasy NBA Today?
We kept it on the rails. I'm kind of disappointed.
Maybe. That's very debatable.
I think I was going to try to talk about the Costco guys. I was going to get us over there, see what people think about that.
Wait, you were going to talk Costco on the show?
The Costco guys, not Costco itself.
Who are the Costco guys?
Oh, we'll have a long talk.
No. I want 30 seconds on who the Costco guys are.
They just make TikToks rating the Costco food items. I don't know.
Is it spectacular?
You
never heard about the Rizzler? Like the great Jonathan Mobo?
I didn't hear what you said. I was thinking about how you couldn't possibly have heard about the Rizzler.
I'm not doing that
look
listener
up
question,
after.
Andre. I'm not doing that listener question, Andre. Not yet. Okay, they rate the products. That's what they
Yeah, on a boom or doom scale.
A boom or doom. Oh, yeah. You know what? I want a part of that. I go to Costco all the time, and I got some great hacks. I got cheese crackers that I eat. They're the Sonoma Creamery tomato basil. That's the best thing I've ever had. Then I got the peanut butter cups. I forget the name of the brand, but they are like 3 carbs and 70 calories, and they actually taste better than I had a Reese's Pieces for Halloween, and it sucked. It sucked.
Really?
There was too much sugar in it. Yeah. It's like you can tell that it's crack. You don't want that. You want the Costco peanut butter healthy versions. Okay. All right. They're not sponsoring us. Let's stop saying the brands.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Unofficially, today's episode is sponsored by the Snack Factory Pretzel Crisps. The finest snacks you can buy.
I'm not saying anything about that. That'll do it. See, okay, we waited till the 57th minute to get this thing off the rails. But
I'm
that's
trying
like
to get us money, man. I don't know what you guys are freaking out about.
You know what? Maybe you should be in charge of marketing. I'd like to thank the great Andre Lemos, whose name we've mentioned 37 and a half times.
And Snack Factory.
And Snack Factory. I don't know who you are, but send us money. This has been
and
Fantasy
Pretzel
NBA
Crisps,
Today.
The finest snacks money can buy.
Presented by Pretzel Crisps. The finest money that pretzels can buy. I'm Aaron Bruschi. This is Mike Pasador. This is how every work meeting we've ever had goes. Presented by Bet Online, this show is indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, be well.